and welcome to Kingwood United Methodist Church. Thank you for joining us today. Wherever you're listening from and whatever service you're listening to, we strongly believe because of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, there is always more to life.
So we're in the middle of our Amplified series talking about, like Bert said in his prayer, we're not trying to get into a shouting match with the world, that it just seems like there's so much noise in our world today that's being amplified. So many ideas, so many different things in our society that is amplified. And so how do we respond as a church instead of just reacting as a church? How do we respond to all that's going around in the world around us? And so today we're talking about God's calling and amplifying God's call in our lives. And what I think that's kind of responding to is this sense of purposelessness that's starting to pervade our society. I'm going to use kind of some big philosophical terms, so I apologize. But there's this idea in our culture that's becoming more and more common of existentialism and nihilism, which is this idea that life is purposeless and meaninglessness. Nihilism says that we look at that meaningless and we just despair. Existentialism, which is the more common idea in our society, says we look at that purposelessness of life and we say that we get to create our own meaning. But what you find is if you kind of pull that thread of existentialism, that if we create our own purpose, that the purpose we create for ourselves is never good enough. And I was reading some statistics. I don't know how accurate they are. I'm not a statistician, so I'm not good at judging if statistics are accurate or not. But depression rates are up during the pandemic. I saw this one stat that said 25% of young people, so that's like teenager to 25, 25% of them during the pandemic have contemplated suicide. It's this idea that this purposelessness has just been amplified in our society. So what's the solution to that sense of purposelessness? I believe that it's, as a Christian, as a pastor, that it's God's call on our life that fills that void of purposelessness. And so we're looking today at the call of Samuel. It's maybe a familiar call if you grew up in church. So we're going to be in 1 Samuel chapter 3, if you want to open up your Bibles. If not, it's going to be up on the screen. 1 Samuel 3, chapters 1 through 10, or verses 1 through 10. The boy Samuel ministered before the Lord under Eli. In those days, the word of the Lord was rare, and there were not many visions. One night, Eli, whose eyes were becoming so weak that he could barely see, was lying down in his usual place. The lamp of the Lord had not gone out, and Samuel was lying in the house of the Lord where the ark of God was. Then the Lord called Samuel. Samuel answered, "Here I am." And he ran to Eli and said, "Here I am, you called me." But Eli said, "I did not call you. Go back and lie down again." So he went and lay down. Again the Lord called Samuel. And Samuel got up and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, you called me." "My son," Eli said, "I did not call you. Go back and lie down." Now Samuel did not know the Lord. The word of the Lord had not yet been revealed to him. A third time the Lord called Samuel. And Samuel got up and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, you called me." Then Eli realized that the Lord was calling the boy. So Eli told Samuel, "Go and lie down. And if he calls you again, speak and say, 'Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening.'" So Samuel went and lay down in his place. And the Lord came and stood there, calling as the other time, "Samuel, Samuel." Then Samuel said, "Speak, for your servant is listening." And so we're looking at this call of Samuel, this call on the life of this young boy. And what does that mean for us today? I think the first part of it is that God's calling gives purpose to our lives. That God's call gives purpose to our lives. This is sort of the start of Samuel's life. And you see that the path that Samuel takes as a result of this call on his life radically changes. Samuel becomes a prophet for God. He becomes a leader. He anoints Saul, and then eventually he anoints David. That it can all, the whole trajectory of Samuel's life can be traced back to this one moment, this one meeting with God, this invitation into deeper relationship with God, that when the Lord spoke into Samuel's life, that it was speaking purpose into this young boy's life. That when God speaks into your life, he speaks purpose into it. That God spoke direction into Samuel's life. And as you kind of see the rest of the story unfold, you read about the mighty things that Samuel did. And you read about how God used him and how God worked through Samuel to bring about his purpose. And that God gave purpose to Samuel. That the rest of the book is just unfolding. It's called 1 and 2 Samuel, not 1 and 2 King David. That this whole trajectory of the starting of the kingdoms in Israel was stemming from the life of Samuel. That he was the one that God used to start the monarchy in Israel. And so we see here that as God speaks into the life of you, that as God spoke into the life of this little boy, this young person serving before the Lord, that he spoke purpose into his life. In Christian terms, we kind of talk about there's something we call the general call of all Christians and then the specific call of Christians. You may have heard it. You may not have heard it. I heard it a lot going through this ordination process that was like a hiking a mountain. You hear it all the time. The general call is the call of God on all the Christians. So all of you who call yourself a believer in Christ, you have a general call to go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, teaching them that this call to go and evangelize, this call to share what God has done in you and for you, this call to live a life of holiness, of intimacy with the Lord, that's sort of this general call that every single Christian believer has on their life. And there's also this sort of deeper calling, this special calling, this second calling, whatever you want to call it. That was a dumb pun. Whatever you want to call it, it's this specific thing that God has in store for just you. This specific call on your life that God has given just to you. So for me in my life, it's to be up here preaching and teaching. And it's not something I would have picked for myself, but it's something that God knew and had in store for me. That the call of God on your life, we're not just talking about a general call. We're also talking about this specific life call on your life. The specific call that God created something for you to do that he only wants you to be doing. And as we see here in Samuel, that God spoke not that general call into Samuel's life, but that very specific call, that specific purpose into his life. Think of calling maybe not as calling, but think of it as purpose. That we have this general purpose of being a Christian, but then we also have this very specific purpose that God has in store for just us. That's written just for you. That's just perfect for your heart and how God created you to do. And so I'll just share my call story. I think I've shared it at least once, maybe twice. But when I was at UM Army, I was kind of up here. It was our color group's time to lead, if you're familiar with UM Army. So I was a good PK. So I said, you know what? I'm going to volunteer to do the opening prayer because that's what good PKs do. So I went up, and the Holy Spirit just overcame me, like one of those like Pentecost-type moments. And the Lord just started speaking through me. Like my mouth was moving. I was speaking English words, saying a prayer. And I just remember thinking halfway through it, oh, these are not my words. These are not my thoughts. My mouth is just kind of moving and stuff is coming out. This is surreal. I've never had this happen before. And right when I thought that, the Lord said to me, this is what I want you to do for the rest of your life. And when I sat down and everyone said, oh, Jeremy, that was such a great prayer. That was one of the best prayers I've ever heard. It's like, yeah, it should have been good. That was God praying. It's a specific call that God put in my heart and put in my life when I was a teenager. And that leads then to the second point, that if God gives purpose to our lives, that God's call or God's purpose is also sovereignly given to us. Last week, we talked a bit about God's sovereignty. And it comes with this calling, too, that this specific call in God's life is not something we manufacture ourselves. And that's so what the world gets wrong, that we can come up with our own best purpose, that we know ourselves the best, that we can figure out how to get through life the best, that we can add purpose to life. Ecclesiastes says, meaningless, meaningless is life without God. What we see here instead, though, is that the call of God on Samuel's life was sovereignly spoken into him. Looking again at verses 2 through 4. One night, one random night, probably a night just like tonight, if it was night, Eli, whose eyes were becoming so weak he could barely see and was lying down in his usual place, the lamp of God had not gone out yet. And Samuel was lying down in the house of the Lord where the ark of God was. Then the Lord called Samuel. Then the Lord called Samuel. Samuel wasn't seeking any special calling in his life. God spoke it into him in the middle of the night, in the stillness and the quiet, while he was just doing what he had always done, sitting in the temple, seeing if there's anything that needed to attend to in the middle of the night. He was just doing every normal day things. And then God sovereignly broke into the life of Samuel and transformed his life.
Thanks again for joining us for today's message. We will return to the sermon in a moment, but first, we would like to ask for you to rate, share, and subscribe to our podcast. We believe God is doing some amazing things here at KUMC, and your feedback helps our church to reach new listeners that we wouldn't otherwise be able to reach. Now, let's get back to the Word.
And so when we talk about the call of God, the purpose of God in our life, it's not something we can manufacture ourselves, but it's something that God has to sovereignly break into your life, break into the meaninglessness of your life that you may feel, and speak that call into your life. It was the same thing with me. I just signed up to pray because that's what a good preacher's kid should do. I didn't expect God to do anything. I never expected to become a pastor. I was studying, I was hoping to go to A&M and study genetics. That was my plan for my life. That's where I was going to do. That was my purpose that I had decided for my life. And then God comes in and he says, I have a different plan for you. I have a different, greater purpose than something that you could ever come up with yourself. And what we see here with God's sovereign call is that the call of God on our lives precedes intimacy. It comes before intimacy with God. Like Bert was kind of talking about in his prayer, we often think we have to get ourselves perfect. We have to put together the broken pieces of our lives. And then once we do that, once we're good, once we're a good, perfect vessel, then God can start to use us again. But we see over and over and over in scriptures that it's the exact opposite. That the call of God on your life precedes intimacy with God. That God's call on your life is not based off anything you've done, anything that you will do, that it's just this sovereign purpose that God gives you, not based off the good things that you've done, and also not based off the bad things you feel like you've done and you know you've done. We often think we have to fix ourselves up, but that's not how God works. Let's look at verse 7. I love this passage, or this verse. Now Samuel did not know the Lord. Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord, which is a weird thing to say when it spends the first bit talking about, in verse 1, the boy Samuel was ministering in the house of the Lord. The boy Samuel was doing all the good church stuff. He was going to Bible study. He was saying the prayers in the temple, but he did not know the Lord yet. Because the call of God is an invitation to deeper intimacy with him. The call of God is this invitation into something that's greater than simply just head knowledge of God, but it's this heart transformation to be with God and to work with him and to walk with him into deeper intimacy. Samuel knew a lot about God serving in the temple, but he didn't know God. You know, when I first met Erica, I just added her on Facebook after we went on a retreat. And I thought she was kind of cute, so I figured I'll just add her on Facebook. Erica's my wife, by the way, for those of y'all who don't know. And I started Facebook stalking her. You know, I'll be honest, I'm not proud of it. I'm kind of proud of it. I started Facebook stalking her. And after, you know, kind of reading every single Facebook post she had written for like the past 2 years one night, I felt like I know her. You know what I mean? I've gotten all the information, I've done my research, that I know who this person is. But the reality was, is I really didn't know her. I just kind of knew facts about her. I maybe saw a little bit glimpses into her personality, but I really didn't know her. And it's sort of the same way with God. I think too many times we try to Facebook stalk God rather than getting to know him. We like to keep him at a distance and just say, I'm just going to read stuff about you, but I don't want to really get to know you. But it's just like it was with Erica. It wasn't until I talked with her, walked with her, lived life with her, that I truly got to know her from just a surface level, that it's the same way with the Lord, that this call that God puts on our life, it's a call to walk with him, to be in intimacy with him. The call of God's not just a simple Facebook friend request, to put a cheesy way to phrase it, but it's this invitation for deep intimacy with the Lord. That God putting this call on our life is giving purpose to our life. And it's not about waiting till we're perfect. You know, we don't have to wait till we fix ourselves up and have it all together, because God speaks that call on our lives and invites us deeper with him. God calls us and works on us along the way, not the other way around. If you had met me when I was in high school, you'd think I was out of my mind to say that the Lord called me into ministry. You'd say I was out of my mind. I was not that great of a kid. Thanks, babe. Just this idea that if you had known me in high school, you would not have said, that's someone who's going to be a preacher one day. That's not someone who's called by God. That's not who that person is. But that's not how the call of God works on our lives. That God sees the purpose and plans he has for us, and he says, I have a better future for you. Will you walk with me into that better future? Will you walk with me into that better future? That his sovereignty speaks that into us. Looking at 2 Corinthians 4:7, I love this verse too. I love a lot of what the Bible says because it's really good. But we have this treasure in jars of clay to show this all-surpassing power is from God and not for us. I think one of the reasons God's call is sovereign on our lives is because it allows us to say, God called me when I was a mess, and that I'm still a mess, and that I'm a jar of clay that has a ton of cracks in it. And that I hold this treasure of the Holy Spirit, I hold this treasure of God's call in my life like a jar of clay, a cheap jar of pottery. I preached a sermon on this, and the illustration I used was like a plastic Walmart bag, a cheap plastic Walmart bag with a ton of holes in it, that's what we hold the treasure of God in, that is what the Lord does in our lives, that he speaks and puts that treasure inside of our lives. And that when God speaks this into our lives, he does it by using our name. That God calls you by name. That God gives purpose to you by your name. That there's a specific call, a specific purpose in your life that God has in store for just you. For just you and only you. I'm going to run through a few verses of every time the Lord called Samuel. Verse 4. Then the Lord called Samuel. Verse 6. Again, the Lord called Samuel, and Samuel got up. Verse 8. The third time, the Lord called Samuel. Verse 10. And the Lord came and stood, calling as he had before, Samuel, Samuel. That God called Samuel by his name. That God knows your name. That God uses your name when he calls you, when he talks to you. That God used Samuel's name to call him. That God's calling and purpose for your life is so intertwined with who he created you to be. And that God knows this. That he knows all the junk that you've done, all the sin in your life, all the terrible things that you've done. All the terrible things that you will do. I read this quote a while back that when God called you, he took your stupidity into account. That it's this idea that God knows how messed up we are. That God knows how messed up we are and how terrible we are and how often we mess things up and how often we fail. And yet, he still calls, he still speaks, and he still gives us purpose. And can you believe that? That God calls you by name. That God speaks your name when he gives you his purpose. He called me by my name. Jeremy, this is what I want you to do for the rest of your life. Samuel, this is what you're going to do for the rest of your life. That when God speaks and says his purpose into your life, he does it by using your name. He does it by using your name. That God's call on your life is so uniquely yours that he uses your name to make sure that you get it. To make sure that you know that this is your purpose and yours alone. This is your calling. It won't look like someone else's. It won't look like my call is not the same as Erica's. My dad, who's a pastor, my call as a pastor is not the same as his. It's not the same as Bert's. We're all unique and we're all different. And the Lord Jesus Christ calls each of us uniquely because he created us to be unique in his sight. That God's love for us is so deep, so unconditional, and God is so intentional with us that his call for our lives is so uniquely designed just for us. I have this bad habit oftentimes of comparing myself. I'm sure many of you do in the age of Instagram and social media. We have this bad habit of comparing ourselves, and I have this bad habit specifically in the pastor world, pastor bubble, whatever you want to call it, of comparing myself to other pastors. Worrying like, I'm just doing this, just kind of comparing, feeling inadequate. And my brother texted me this week, just kind of out of the blue, and he says, I feel like I have a word for the Lord from you. And he said this, is a word that my brother gave me. He said, stop comparing yourself to others. God hasn't called you to fill the shoes of someone else. God called you to be fully you. That this specific call of God in our lives is a call to be fully me. Call not to be Bert, call not to be Chris or Stacy. That this call on my life is to be who God created me to be. And that's all right. And I'm content with that. And the call that God has for you, for your life, is to be fully yourself, not to be some imitation of yourself, not to be some cheap version of yourself, not to be a purpose that you come up with on your own, but to be who God fully created you to be. That when God calls you in the midst of all your screw-ups, of your past, your failures, that when God speaks that purpose into your life, that he does so intentionally, and that he does it by using your name, and he speaks that clarity into your life. God sees all your warts and all, and he calls you anyways. And he does this all the time. If you look at, pretty much, I challenge you, as Bert said, like the Bereans, they search the scriptures, go through the call stories of the Bible, see that almost every single time Jesus calls before they could do anything for him. All the disciples, none of the disciples were preaching in the temple, and then Jesus went, well, you're pretty smart, I think I'm going to call you. Jesus called his disciples when they were fishing on boats, when they were doing their day work. Jesus called them when they were doing tax collecting by betraying their people. Jesus calls before we can do anything in our lives. That's just what he does. And that the Lord, when he calls, he comes and stands in our midst. Verse 10 again, looking at that. The Lord came and stood. The Lord came and stood as he had the other times and said, Samuel, Samuel. That when God calls you, he enters into your space. That he breaks into the midst and he calls you by name. And he says our name and he sets our life on a different trajectory of our life.